And the faults of samsara is just looking at samsara as a whole, and whether we look at those six realms or cosmologically or psychologically, we're looking at the wheel of life and looking at the nature of conditioned existence. Again, Maitreya is going to introduce us to this later on in the retreat in more detail, but I suppose primarily we're looking at samsara in terms of the three lakshanas, or the three marks that conditioned existence is painful, impermanent and insubstantial. So in looking at the sort of bigger picture and reflecting in this way, we're beginning to overcome our fascination, as it were, with the marvels of samsara, which there are many. Conditioned existence gives us much pleasure, but we're beginning to see that it can't give us total happiness. And an understanding that even within pleasure, sometimes there's hidden or latent suffering. So we enjoy many things, but it was interesting to reflect how much pleasure there is actually in the things that we enjoy. How much is there in the moment, or is much of it anticipation and memory? So kind of, you know, focusing on pleasure as a reflection is quite interesting. What is pleasure? What is it? And sometimes if we look at things in that way, we see how momentary the pleasure is, and even associated with something that's very pleasurable, often, you know, there's kind of deeper anxieties about loss, losing the things that we enjoy. So these sort of reflections point more at that. And I suppose what the four mind turnings do in leading us to renunciation is a kind of, in a way they're quite strong, but also they're quite a sort of gentle way of bringing about insights which quite naturally turn us away from delusion towards a kind of more realistic understanding of life and existence. So that's a withdrawal then, is a kind of natural withdrawal rather than a kind of, mustn't do that at all, whatever. Which probably means you'll do that thing again later on, in my experience. You kind of, you know, react in and out of things. There's a wonderful line in Pingye's Praises to the Way to the Beyond, which is a favourite reading, isn't it, in the FWO. Where Pingye is talking about the Buddha and what the Buddha teaches, and he says something about he shows the way to give up craving without harmful side effects. I think I'd love to give a talk on that one day. Let's get around to it one day. I think it's a wonderful phrase, and again, I think so often we kind of can fall into thinking you have to give things up in a sort of alienated, ascetic kind of way, which will give us harmful side effects and reactions. So I think the four mind turnings are a way of giving up, you know, addiction to the pleasures of this life and of, you know, any addictions we have, the possible pleasures of our next life, without harmful side effects, in a kind of natural kind of way. So that's what I hope will come out of this retreat. So just that's a brief sort of overview of what we're going to be exploring in the retreat. Sometimes they are expressed in a different order, so you may come across them expressed in a different order. Preferably, I think this one's probably good for us, and I think it is the more usual one, but I have seen them approached with impermanence first. And in a way, that's understandable, isn't it? Because that is the actual nature of ourselves. And existence generally, that it's a kind of truth that's there. It's an actual characteristic of existence. It's a lakshana, it's a definitive mark. And I suppose if we engage in a reflection on impermanence, you know, we also understand that attachment to impermanent things brings suffering. So we're very much involved in reflections on the Noble Truths as well. And the four mind turnings do associate with the four Noble Truths. So that may lead us to think, well, we really need to practice the Dharma. And then we realise, well, we have got the means to practice on. We've got a precious human birth. We've got the freedoms and opportunities. We've got the context. So that would lead us into the second, the first reflection as a second reflection. And sometimes samsara comes third. We sort of see the nature of existence and our attachment to it through our reflection on impermanence, as it were. And then we realise that we can abandon our attachment to samsara because of the truth of karma and karmavipaka, because of the truth actions do have consequences, and what we do does matter, because we have the power, we have the ability to change what we do, and to engage in a path of practice, developing more and more skillful actions independent upon which insight can arise. So you can sort of turn around one and two and turn around three and four. But I think it's probably, it's probably better to approach them in this way. I mean, I suppose really they're just so interconnected, aren't they? You approach one, you can arrive at any of the others, because the Dharma is a sort of total truth in which everything does interconnect. But for methodological purposes, we'll take them up as a set of reflections in this order. So we'll start with the precious human birth, and we'll really explore our opportunities and freedoms and our own potential and the context in which we find ourselves in, and allow that over the next 2 weeks, 9 days, see what happens. But what should happen is that feelings of appreciation for what we've got, feelings of gratitude, feelings of faith begin to arise, and that allows us to explore death and impermanence, and understanding that, our context can change. We may live a long life, but we just don't know what's going to happen with our context and our circumstances. So that gives us a positive sense of urgency to practice more deeply, and to understand that we do have the possibility of directing our life by understanding karma and karmavipaka. We can choose at any moment in time skillful actions of body, speech and mind. We can direct our lives skillfully through the practice of the precepts, and we can understand more and more deeply that conditioned existence has nothing ultimately to offer us, and allow that to give us a sense of a very strong motivation for liberation for ourselves and all sentient beings.